can't wait. I ain't been in the ring since September, and I'm ready to go. Just can't wait to go in there and show the Sheffield people, put on a tremendous performance. He's a good kid. It's going to be a hard fight, but I'm ready. I'm ready to for whatever he brings. I'll have an answer for on that night.
What do you have to sort of prepare for? Because when you don't, I don't know how much you know about this guy. When he's not fought over here, you maybe don't know what kind of tactics he's going to use. He might have sort of a bit more experience on you, but you've just got to go out there and put on your performance and concentrate on yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, basically, it doesn't matter what he brings on the night. I have to find a way. No matter what it is, I'm going to have to find a way to beat him, basically. It doesn't matter. I've trained mentally, physically, and I'm ready. And on the night, it's going to show.
You're 24 now. Are you feeling as good as, you know, you've ever felt? Are you starting to feel like you're hitting your peak now in your career?
I'm 24. I don't think you really hit your peak until you're about 26, 27, 28. And I just feel like I'm every fight I'm developing and getting better. I think I've learned a lot from my last fight, and I'm going to take that into this fight.
What did you learn from that last fight?
Just a couple of things. Just basically patience and just a couple of things I was doing wrong inside the ring, and on Saturday night you're going to see.
You're back at Ponds Forge, which is a venue you know well, but how good is it to be fighting round here as well? Because you're starting to grow in popularity, aren't you?
Yeah. Like, a lot of people know me in Sheffield, and I love fighting at my hometown. Stay in my own house the day before, and there's nothing better than fighting in your hometown.
Has it been a bit frustrating, the fact that I think you've only fought twice since the back end of 2012? You know, as a fighter, you want to be out there as often as possible, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but like I said, sometimes in life you don't. Nothing in life ever goes the right way, does it? There's always, like, things always happen. But my manager, John Ingle, and Dominic Ingle said to me, your next fight's for a European title, so I always knew I was going to fight for this title. It might have took a couple of months, but that's how it goes.
Is this sort of the next step for you, to go and fight and get a belt of this stature?
Yeah.
To keep progressing.
Yeah, it's all about progressing. That's what it's all about in this game, and learning. And I'm 24, I'm fighting for the European title, which is a good achievement, and I can't wait.
Someone told me it's the 20th anniversary of, I think, Naz winning this belt. Do you get any inspiration from that?
Yeah, of course I do. Naz was one who started it all for me, weren't it, Naz? Naz started it all for me when I was a kid watching him, and I can't wait to do what he did.
Because this could be sort of a springboard, couldn't it? As much as you want to win this title, if you can get it, it just may lead to bigger and better things.
Yeah, it could do. I've got to do it in a better style.
Dominic, what kind of sort of setbacks as kid faced? Obviously, you know, I think you'd have ideally had him fighting more than twice in 2013. So, what kind of setbacks did he face there?
Yeah, we did, but you know, it's all reliant on TV deals. He's a prospect, and we needed to get the right fights. And he's had. I think he won the British title fight in his something like his 14th fight. He won the WBC international belt in his something like 13th or 12th fight. So you know, they've all been top quality fights in his last couple of fights. And in his last fight, he faced Jazza Dickens, who was an unbeaten prospect himself. And you know, up until that point, Barry had never really fought a kid who was unbeaten. And it's they're a different kettle of fish, because they've got that winning mentality. You know, even when they're behind on points or they're taking a bit of stick in their ring, they come back because they know that they've been in that place before and they can come through it. Whereas kids sometimes, when they've got one or two losses on the record, think, you know, here we go again, I'm getting beat up and it's getting tough, this. But you know, Jazza Dickens gave Barry a very good fight till about 8 rounds, and a lot of people thinking Barry was behind, but we had a plan all along and he pulled it out of the bag. So, you know, it was a British title fight we had to wait for. There was a lot of negotiations with that, and that took some arranging. And same with this European title fight. It should have gone on before Christmas, because its previous owner, Cole Frampton, who always talks about beating Barry up, you know, didn't fancy the job. So he strung it out as long as he could, you know, umming and ahhing whether he was going to fight Barry. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, he gave it up, saying, no, he's got bigger fish to fry. But in the same breath, he was saying, no, he never considered Barry a threat, and it would be an easy fight between him and Barry. Well, you know, if we had an easy fight like that, we'd take it. But obviously, he didn't think it was going to be as easy as he said it was. So as time went on, it got a little bit postponed over Christmas, and we've ended up in March. But everything's right. He has had to wait 6 months, but he's gone from fighting for a British title and winning that, you know, to a European title fight, which puts you in the top 10 in the world rating. So potentially from this point onwards, you know, in March, in the next 9 months, you know, Barry could be in a couple of, you know, in a world title eliminator and fighting for a world title this time next year. So that's, if it's them type of quality fights, you don't mind waiting. But, you know, if Barry'd have won the British and then waited 6 months just for a normal 10-round fight, it wouldn't be worth it. So we were prepared for that.
Is Barry quite an easy fighter to manage in those situations? You talked about the tactics in the last fight.
Yeah.
You know, some fighters will just say, hang on a minute, you know, they'll go away from the game plan, won't they, and just try and press and do their own thing. Is Barry quite easy to coach in that regard?
Yeah, he sticks to the plan. And the other thing, you know, he boxed, you know, last time he boxed in magnets, like when we have Kell Brook boxing in Sheffield and he's had hard fights in Sheffield. You know, the thing what goes through the mind is, I'm in Sheffield, all these people have come to see me, I can't get beat. And that's, you know, a motivating factor. You know, Kell Brook, when he boxed Carson Jones for the first time, it was a life and death for the last six rounds. But you could see Kell thinking, I can't, you know, embarrass myself in front of 10,000 people here, I've got to dig in. And although he got nothing left in the tank, he pulled himself through. And it's, you know, like with Barry in the last fight against Jazza Dickens, you know, he thought he was coasting the fight and he got to the point where he was looking a bit close. And as soon as he was asked to step up the gears and finish the job, he did it. You know, and that's good because he knows what the plan is. And like I said, we're in the European title fight now. The kid's a tough kid. He's a wild man. He can punch. He's awkward. He throws shots from awkward angles. He's dangerous. Nobody's seen much of him. He's a Spanish champion. He's actually what they call the EU champion, which is like a smaller version of the European title. So he's got plenty of pedigree. And he'll be coming with confidence as well.
The great thing about the TV deal is it has sort of exposed Barry to a wider audience. We know, we've seen what he's capable of doing. Is this when it starts to get exciting for people who've followed him over the last few years, that he's going to get opportunities maybe in the next year or two that we've expected him to get?
Yeah, I mean, he's on terrestrial TV. He's not on a dedicated sports channel. And, you know, you're opening him up to a wider audience. That's what you want. You know, when Naz boxing Pons Forge for the bantamweight European title all those years ago, it was on terrestrial TV and everybody switched on and thought, oh, this kid, we've never seen anything like this before. It was fantastic. And that set him up really for the rest of his career, because, you know, he was cocky, he was brash, you know, he said what he was going to do and he did it, and he was almost like, you know, the second coming of Muhammad Ali. And people switched on for that. And, you know, with Barry's next couple of fights, hopefully they're going to be on terrestrial TV as well. Most of his fights have been on there, so people are recognising him. You know, we go abroad to Fuerteventura, Tenerife, you go through the airport and people recognise him. Oh, I've seen you on TV. Like, you know, and sometimes we've got Kell Brook with us and they don't know who Kell Brook is because he's obviously on a different channel. But, you know, just the normal people who aren't particularly big boxing fans, they might switch over on a Saturday night and think, oh, this looks interesting. They'll see a little bit of a story about, you know, about Barry or the boxers who are fighting, and it draws their interest in. So it's surprising that, you know, once he started boxing on terrestrial TV, he became like an overnight success, really. People started recognising him in the street, and that's good. It's good for his, although he's not fighting as regular as we'd like, the exposure that he's getting, he's just opening up to a bigger audience.
Have you found that, Barry, of people? I mean, I remember I was in Meadowhall about 3 weeks ago and there's Kell Brook, and I don't think he could get away from a crowd of people that were asking for photos and all of that. Do you find a little bit like that? People are coming up to you and recognising you because of that exposure that you've got?
Yeah. I go places, and especially when I go to, not in particular Sheffield, but if I go to London or Leeds or anywhere else, a lot of people will stop me and I'll say, oh, you're that kid off the TV, can I have your... Because in Sheffield, most people are not really bothered because we've got loads of boxing champions. But outside of Sheffield, I always get stopped and people ask me, oh, can I have a picture, and all the time.
Do you feel like you've got an advantage there over some of the fighters, though? Because everybody wants that exposure. They want the spotlight on them, and doing it on the TV like you have has given you maybe a bit of an advantage that other people would love.
Yeah, of course. Like, the end of the day, I've got the best management around. I've got John Ingle. I've got Dominic in the best trainer around, and they've got me in this position. And for someone to find interstitial TV, especially on Channel 5, where you get millions of viewers every time I fight, people, you don't, that's a big advantage.
We were talking to Dominic about the tactics in the last fight. How disciplined do you have to stay to just sort of go by what you've discussed, all the lead up and all the build up you've done to the fight? Dominic's guided you through that. But when you're in the ring, you know, you just can't help sometimes but drift a little bit, and to keep your mind focused is so crucial, isn't it?
You have to be in that tunnel vision. You can't afford to... If you lose focus for 1 second, you could get caught with a shot and that's it. The fight's over with. You have to be in that tunnel vision. You have to stick to the game plan, and you can't afford to make a mistake in that ring.
How excited are you by the kind of things that we're talking about here? You know that in the next couple of years, you're going to get a lot of opportunities. And how do you balance out sort of aiming for that, wanting to do all of those things, you know, becoming a world title contender in the future? How do you balance that out with staying grounded as well and just taking one fight at a time?
By having a good team around me. I've got people like Dominic Ingle, John Ingle, Brendan Ingle, and Carl Lucock in the gym, and they all keep me grounded. They all keep me grounded. They just tell me, obviously, if I was getting a bit out of hand, they'll just tell me, oh, listen, blah, blah, blah. But I don't really, but I've got a good team around me.
You've got to be confident as well. I mean, you're a confident character. We've had you in the studio a few times. You've got to sort of have that bit about your personality and belief in yourself as well to achieve what you want to achieve.
Of course you do. Then day I train twice a day, and me personally, I don't think I can be beat. But if you train as hard as I train, then I'm willing to take you anywhere I need to go to beat you, and I know I can do that. And if you're not willing to go there, then that's it.
Have you taken your training to another level ahead of this?
Yeah. Every time we're stepping up training, we've got Hallam University helping us out on stuff. We've got Alan Ruddock, is it Dominic?
Yeah, Alan Ruddock.
Dave Hart, is it Dave?
Dave Ember. Sheffield Hallam University. So, all these guys, they monitor Barry. They've got him wired up to automated monitors and testing machines and, you know, testing everything. He's like probably one of the best elite athletes they've had there. And sometimes they walk out of the lab scratching their head thinking, how does he do it? But he keeps turning up the numbers performance-wise, and they're very impressed with his, you know, what he's doing. So,
do you know, I've heard that before. Someone's mentioned to me that when they were doing the testing and that you were one of the best athletes that they'd come across.
Not one of the best. He's actually the best they've ever had. And, you know, that goes for
Does that surprise you a little bit, though? I mean, they've tested a few great athletes in the time, and for you to be number one.
No, because the way me and Dominic train is, you need to come and see me train, and then you'll understand. I've trained before, and I felt like spewing up, but I know that the fighter I'm gonna fight, he's not willing to do that. I'm willing to do that, and on the night of the fight, I'm willing to die in that ring. Is he willing to die in that ring?
That goes to show, though, how much potential you've got. I mean, it's testament to it, isn't it, that the potential is there?
Yeah, you have to have the pedigree, don't you? And at the end of the day, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you're not willing to put the time and effort in and the hard work, there's no point.
Dominic, you know what makes a world champion. Do you see the traits within Barry that can get him to the top?
All the kids we've ever had in the gym. You know, I was having a conversation with some of the lads the other day. You know, we're set up in this society these days that we only want winners, and you know, you've got to win, 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 win. But sometimes you learn from getting beat. And when we think of the fighters we've had, Nazim Mohamed has been one who went through his career unbeaten until more or less the end. You know, Kid Galahad, he's the same. Junior Witter, all the way to world title without getting beat. There's only probably been a handful of fighters, four or five fighters, who've done that in our gym. Out of the 20 or 30 champions that we've had, the rest of them, they've been beat, they've learnt, they've come back, they've readjusted, they've reassessed, worked out the situation and got better. But looking, you know, the champions, long champions, long, you know, the champions we've had, like Johnny Nelson, who was world champion for 7 years, unbeaten in 10, and he got off to a terrible start. You know, watching him train, the hours he put in, same with Nazim Ahmed, the hours he put in Junior Witter, even Kell Brook. You know, Kell Brook is a tremendous trainer. He can just walk in the gym, switch off from everything what's going on outside of the gym and focus on his training. And, you know, Barry, Kel, John A. Jr., Nazim Mohamed, the five, you know, probably the five best kids we've had, they've all got that, like Barry says, tunnel vision. They look what they've got to do, they focus on what they've got to do, and they just follow the path straight in front of them. And you can recognise that in Barry. You see it in Kel, we've seen it in John A. Jr., and they've all achieved, they've all become world champions.
So, it's the 22nd, isn't it, the fight's taking place. Just a final message for the people listening to this. Why should they tune in or grab a ticket down at Ponds Forge to see this fight?
If you want to see drama, excitement and me put on a tremendous show, either tune in on Channel 5 at 10 o'clock or come down to Ponds Forge and watch me. It's better to watch it live because then you can see all the blood going everywhere.
There we go. While we've got you, Dominic, on a couple of other matters, we've had so many messages asking about your dad.
Oh, yeah.
How is he?
Oh, he's fantastic. I mean, he's been, what is he, 72, 73 now, and I think probably having a week in hospital was the best thing you know, he could have done, because he never stops. He never sits down. When he's up in the morning sweeping the streets, he's in the gym, he's always finding a job to do in the gym. And to be honest, when he came out of hospital, he looked better than he did 3 weeks before going in. And I think it's made him sit back and realise, you know, that the world is going to carry on without him, but he's got to start looking after himself and thinking about everybody else's problems. And that's what he's done all his life, you know, the kids on the street and helping everybody else out. You get to an age when you've got to actually start thinking about yourself. And I think it's made him realise, you know, after all these years, this is a bit of a scare, that, like, you know, before you can help anybody else, you've got to look after yourself to be able to do that. And he's slowed down a little bit, you know, he's taking things a bit easier, but he's still in the gym every day, he's still giving the kids guidance. Some people are thinking, you know, 3 weeks ago everybody was saying he was on his deathbed, he's had an heart attack, he's had a stroke, he's had this, he's had that, you know. And then he walks in the gym and everybody's like, you know, have we heard the right thing? Because he doesn't actually look like anything's happened to him, does it, Barry? So yeah, he's good at the minute, and hopefully will be for the next few years.
It's great to hear. But how tough is it for a legend? I mean, he is a legend within Sheffield. To sort of just take a step back.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's very difficult for him. I mean, I'm not at that level. I probably never will be. You know, but he's took a lot on over the years. He's been at this game and dedicated it. You know, to dedicate yourself to boxing ever since I can remember. You know, when I was at school at 5 and 6 years old, I didn't realise my dad was a professional boxer until later on, and I saw the photographs and I just wondered why, you know, every now and again we get his picture in the paper. And like, it just seemed to be, I mean, I'm 46 now, so for the last 40 years that's all it's ever been, boxing, in the house, in the gym, wherever you go it's boxing, that's all it is. So, you know, I suppose for him having 40 years of that, being in the limelight, developing the champions, you know, trying to help kids out who are never going to make a champion, but it might turn their life around, they might do well at school, university, or in the job. You know, the real successes aren't actually probably all the champions we've developed, it's the kids who never got to that level, but you put them on the right path in life. And, you know, I suppose sometime he's going to have to sit back and think, you know what, I can't keep doing this, you know, it takes a lot of time, I'm getting older. But I suppose it's very difficult for him at the end of the day.
Kel's coming up as well, obviously he's got his next fight upcoming. What do you make of this one? Not a lot of people know about his opponent.
No, he's fighting on Saturday. It's the thing is with the Americans, really, over the last 12 months I've looked at the situation and I don't think anybody fancies a piece of Kell Brook. That's, you know, Amir Khan is talking his way out of it. Well, you know, if it's going to be that easy a fight Kell Brook, you're going to get £4 million for doing it. Eddie Hearn's made the offer. If it's such an easy fight, it's easy money, take the fight, but he won't take it. The guy Sean Porter was a world champion, he's talking about other opponents, because, you know, where Kell is, he's, and especially after his last performance, knocking everybody out, he's unbeaten, he's young, he's dynamic. You know, nobody really wants that, so they're all avoiding him. And I think at the moment Eddie Hearn's trying to pin down Sean Porter, who's the champion, to a date. Apparently it's got to go on before June. So this guy who Kell's boxing on Saturday is a bit of a puncher, very much in the same vein as Sean Porter. Obviously not as good as Sean Porter, but the kid's going to come out slinging bombs. He's got a very good knockout. I think he's knocked out about 22 guys out of 24, only lost 2 fights. And they're always out, these guys are always out to make a name for themselves. They're hungry, he's a Mexican, so he's going to come and think, you know, I've got a chance, and he's got nothing to lose. So Kell's got to be on his best performance. He can't take anything lightly, because this could be the end of his world title dreams if he doesn't do it.
What's more likely then? I mean, we've seen what Kell and Amir, you know, on Twitter are back and forth a little bit. Khan's, you know, 1 minute says I don't want this, and then he just can't help himself, he's got to go back and have a dig at Kell. Do you think that will happen one day? Because it's what everybody wants to see.
If I was Amir Khan's manager, I wouldn't put him in with Kell Brook, because the one thing that Kell's got is a fantastic right hand, and the one thing that Amir Khan hasn't got is a very good chin. And he could possibly outbox Kell for 5 or 6 rounds. But Kell Brook will always land that right hand no matter what. He's always landed the right hand. And because he's not, you know, some kids have taken that shot, but Amir Khan has proved time and time again, he's had to pick himself off the canvas. Even with kids who aren't considered punchers, he's got hit with shots and he's been all over the place. And Kell says, you know, he says to me every day, we've got a photo of Amir Khan on the wall in the gym. He says, one day I'm going to make him do the chicken dance. He says, and his legs are going to be all over the place, running around that ring, and he won't be able to keep himself up. And I'll just stand over him, like a bit like Muhammad Ali did with Sonny Liston. He says, I'll stand over him when he's on the floor and just smile. He says, but he's never going to give me that chance unless he has to do it. Unless he's run out of opponents and he can't make money off him, he'll have to fight me.
How is he spirits-wise? Because we've talked to him in the last sort of 18 months, and there's been times when he's been down and there's been times when he's been up as well. I guess he's just got to be patient now. But that can be tough, can't it?
It's almost like somebody keeps moving the goalposts every time and there's a carrot dangling on the end of the string. But Kel realises he started this journey and no matter what, he's got to finish it. So, you know, yeah, he'll get a little bit cheesed off. But to be honest, since the Carson-Jones fight in the summer, the Shevchenko fight in the autumn and this fight, he's been focused and motivated. He's in the gym. You can see a different Kel Brook where he's realising, I'm so close to this fight, I can't take me off the ball now. I've almost got the world title in my sights and I'm ready to fire, and he's just waiting for that date to be announced. And you know, when that date is announced, he's going to go back onto it, you know, fully into his training again. He's going to have a couple of days off after this fight and he's going to be straight back in the gym because he knows that fight's coming and he's not going to give it up for the world.
Is there anything else you want to mention while we've got you?
No, I'm saying everybody's doing well. We've got lots of fights. We've got a guy on Saturday, also a guy from Leeds called Bob Adjasef. He's fighting for the light heavyweight British title. And very nice kid, very dedicated. Nobody will have heard of him, but he's going to be on terrestrial TV. And when he fights, people are going to say, where's this kid been hiding? Because, you know, he's a bit of an unknown. He can fight. He's tough. You know, he can punch. So, you know, that'll be great if he can, you know, come through the fight and win. He's fighting an experienced guy called Dean Francis, who's been around for years. He's been a British champion. He's been European champion. Very good fighter in his day. And, you know, all of a sudden, this, you know, Bob Adjasef, he's been fighting for 5 or 6 years and nobody will have heard of him. Then after Saturday, hopefully he wins the title, everybody will have heard of him and it'll be good for him because he's a very dedicated kid flying under the radar at the minute. So, you know, good luck to him on Saturday and Kel Brook.